week, this past week, spending time with my boys, and I believe you ought to spend time even with your married children. Amen? Amen. And I appreciate Taylor's wife allowing him to come this whole week. Amen? And be away. She had a rough week, and he wasn't even there to help. And so he's got to go back whooping back into shape. Amen? But we did get to go parasailing. Get out on the boat in the middle of the ocean, hammerhead sharks swimming all around. And they strap you into that parasail, and the sail goes out, and they just let the line go out 800 feet. It was like a little dot up there. And they tried to get me to do it. They tried. They said, "Dad, I don't blame you, Brother Bingham. I'd sit in a different seat also." Amen. They said, "You know, Dad, God will be with you." But let me tell you something, though. They misinterpreted Scripture. Because the Bible said, "And lo, I will be with you always." Amen. "Lo, I will be with you always." That's why I stayed on the ground. Amen. Oh, boy. But we had a great time. It was good to be, good to just get away sometimes. And, you know, it's a good thing to do that sometimes. Just kind of get away. Especially if you got a lot of difficulty and some stress in your life, it's a good thing to get away and unwind. Even Jesus departed for a little while. Amen. And I think it's more than just a good thing to do. I think it's a lesson in life that we got to learn sometimes. Amen? And so, anyhow, we had a great time. But it's good to be back in the pulpit. Amen? And I wouldn't give up my pulpit for anything. I thank the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin reading verse number 1 out of God's precious word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Follow along this morning, please, as I read God's word. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, whereby ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, and to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, in holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible this morning. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings. And Lord, we just ask your blessings as we open the word this morning. We ask you to feed us by thy word and give us what we need today. I pray that you'd encourage the discouraged. I pray that you lift up the head of the one whose head's bowed down. Most of all, Lord, I pray that you'd save that one who's lost, who doesn't know you as Savior. I pray, God, you would work a mighty work in their heart and their mind this morning through thy word. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage of Scripture that we read this morning, we find a godly man named Peter who wrote this passage of Scripture. As you were reading, you can probably sense the maturity that he has in his life as he's serving the Lord. But it wasn't always so with Peter. Peter was not always the Christian that we see portrayed in these verses that he wrote. He became what God wanted him to be. And God used him in a great way. But you know, it reminds us that in our life, that God is interested in everybody, no matter who they are. God is interested in every life. And I know that God is interested in every life because he would not have created you had he not been interested in you, in our life. See, God created us for his pleasure, for his will. And our desire ought to be in life to live our life to please him and to live for him. How often do we live for ourselves? How often is number one here? And it used to be that way in Peter's life. And you remember the time that Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus said, "It's time for me to go to that cross and die for the sins of the world." And they came to take him and to lead him to Caiaphas. And Peter's zeal took out his sword and he chopped off Malchus's ear. You remember that story? He had a zealous love for God. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. I think he was aiming for his neck. And I think at the last minute he moved and got his ear. And so Peter expressed this zeal for the Lord. He loved the Lord. But it wasn't long after that Peter went and they asked him, they said, "Do you know this man?" He looked and said, I know him not. Three times he denied the Lord. And the Lord even told him, "When that rooster crows the third time, you will have denied me three times." This is the guy who in zeal, he cut off Malchus's ear, protecting God, protecting Jesus from the hands of those who were going to crucify him. And then he went and warmed himself by the fire of those who turned away from God. He didn't want to be known. But can I tell you, something happened in his life. Something changed in his life for the good. And something turned Peter from this guy that kind of went back and forth. From one minute loving God, the next minute he didn't really love God. To the next minute he went back to loving God. And you know, he found himself on this roller coaster of life. Maybe you find yourself there sometimes. Maybe you find yourself one day wanting to love God with all your heart, and yet the next day the mind seems to change, or some circumstance calls you to not put God first. Can I tell you, take heart in Peter, because God didn't reject him even though he did that. God didn't put him on the scrap heap, and God didn't discard him and say, you're finished, I can't use you anymore. You see, it's because Peter went through times where he learned some things about God. And he learned some things. I think all of us need to do that. In fact, the truth is that we never get to the place where we quit learning things about God. Because he's higher than our ways. He's wiser than us. He's beyond our finite human understanding. And I think the passage that we read today reveals a lot of how Peter came through this thing to where he became a solid, steady servant of God. You know, I would trade emotional Christianity for solid, steady Christianity any day of the week. I'd trade this kind of faithfulness to God rather than this kind any day of the week. And I believe that that is what God is trying to build in us. And I think that's what God built in Peter. This life where I'm just going to keep serving God no matter what. When I face a trial or I face a problem or I may not please God like I should, I'm going to work my way through that and I'm going to grow and I'm going to become what God would want me to be. Well, I want to get to heaven. When God calls me home, I want to be right there on that level where the world can't touch me, the flesh cannot control me, and the devil cannot entice me. I want to be in that place where I'm walking with God, and then he calls us home. Boy, what a place to be. What a wonderful spot in Christian life. And, you know, it doesn't come naturally. We have to learn about God. We have to find out some things. And God has to reveal us some things in his word to us so we can have that blessing. We can have that joy. One of the greatest things that I've had in life is the ability to grow up in a Christian home. I'm thankful that I grew up in a Christian home. And man, I was one of these kids. Sunday after I was born, I was in church. And I was in the church nursery. And I know how to make messes in the nursery. Amen. And that's the kind of kid I was. I was in the church nursery. And, you know, I went to junior church. And I still remember my second grade Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Sellers, brought her little red box with a surprise in it every Sunday. And I would sit with anticipation. Didn't hear a word she said. But I'd look at her little red box. And I'd think, boy, she got something good in there today. And I remember that those days. But can I tell you, my heart goes out to people today who have not had a Christian background. They haven't heard of the grace of God. They haven't been able to grow in Christ. Maybe they haven't been in church, or maybe they didn't have a Mrs. Sellers, or they didn't have a Leroy Frank was my teacher, or a Larry Backus. Men who taught me Sunday school and the Word of God. Maybe they didn't have a preacher who loved them and cared for them when they were down and out. Maybe they didn't have those things. And you know, I think Peter is a picture of this life that he wanted to serve God, but yet he just, this up and down life, he had to somehow get that evened out. And you know, I tell you what, I believe if you're faithfully pursuing God with your whole heart, I believe God can help iron a lot of things out in our life. Amen. Amen. Amen? And it doesn't matter what background. Peter didn't have a great background, but he had a desire to serve God. And as that desire increased, so God taught him and God learned some things. And I look at the passage that we read and I see some times that God taught him some things. And that's what my message is focused on this morning. The times that God taught Peter some things. And I want you to notice them, please. Let's look at verse number 1. I want you to notice there was a time he had to lay aside. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. He said, there's a time I just had to lay all that aside. I had to put it out of my life. You know, when he talks about hypocrisies, I think he looked back at that time when, you know, he cut off Malchus's ear and defense of Christ, a zeal for God. But the next day, he was saying, I know not the man. I don't know who he is. I don't know if pressure got to him or, you know, somebody's influence got on. I don't know. But you know, he had to learn to get through that. He had to learn to lay aside something. You know, it's a good thing in life to take those things in life and lay them aside. Just give them to God. And you know, the altar is a good place to do that. Bible's provided the altar is when God shows us something that we've got to lay aside in our life. Take it to that altar and lay it aside. Lay it aside. Don't carry it with you in life. Don't carry bitterness. Don't carry anger. Don't carry envy. Don't carry evil speaking. God said, just lay it aside. And I think Peter, that was one of the keys in Peter's life. He had to learn to lay it aside. Have you learned that? Have you taken some things in life and said, Lord, I don't need that anymore. I give it to you. I'm laying it aside. Have you done that? I think that helped Peter's life. You know, there's a lot of things. And, you know, we live in a time. Hey, you know, addictions in this day and age are worse than they've ever been. They're worse. It's not, addictions are not new. But, you know, a lot of people think they need these addictions. They need these things to give them some kind of temporary stimulation to feel good. Can I tell you what? God in His Word provides the peace and the joy every day that you need. And you know those things? We have to lay them aside. Lay them aside. They hurt our walk with God. They hurt our walk with God. So He said, I got to lay them aside. So there was a time to lay aside in His life. There's a second thing is there was a time when He had to grow. A time when He had to grow. Notice verse number 2. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I got to feed my granddaughter milk this morning. Of course, it come along with some donuts. I bought some mini donuts for them. They got the donuts. And they got some milk. And Carrie had to have it in her Elsa cup. Just had to have it in her little Elsa cup. Now, who Elsa is, I couldn't tell you. All right? I don't know. But she had to have it in a cup and poured milk in there. Oh, she was so happy. But, you know, that milk will help her to grow. Not the donut won't. The milk will. She'll take that. Boy, she was drinking that down. Oh, it made me so. I enjoyed it. Amen? I'm saying, you know, there's times in life when we have to lay some things aside and grow. And grow. Grow in the Lord. We learn to begin to be faithful to church when we don't feel like it. We learn to come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. We learn to get in our Bible during the week. We learn to start giving and tithing and start praying. These activities of faith that cause us to grow. We begin to take them into our life and start growing. You know, God did not intend for the Christian just to remain at the state they're in once they get saved. God intended you and I to take in some milk. And God equates that to the Word. We're supposed to be taking in some good milk. Hey, I'll tell you something. There's nothing better than a glass of cold milk on a hot day with ice in it. It's good. But you better drink it fast so the water don't melt into the ice and you get all the milk. I better quit talking like this because I'll lose the Baptist crowd. That's for sure. Amen. I'll lose you. But you know what? Christian, we ought to desire to grow in the Lord. There are steps that we all still need to take. Growing in the Lord, what step do you need to take? You see, these steps changed Peter from this guy like this to a guy like that who became faithful, godly Christian. You see, God doesn't godly people aren't just, they don't just appear. They don't just magically appear. They've gone through stages and things and ups and downs, and they've learned to grow. Amen. When times get tough, I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to give. I'm still going to go. Why? Because there was a time in my life when I didn't think that way. There's a time in my life when, man, finances got hard. I had to use that tithe. Man, I didn't have any more money. But I've changed that. I've learned God's blessings will provide all I need if I just obey Him. And prayer is the same way. If I just stay faithful to pray, I may not see every prayer answered, but it does me good to grow in prayer and learn things about prayer. And when you see those prayers answered, you're thankful. You're thankful that God helped you to grow. So it helped him to grow. He had to lay some things aside, and then he had to grow in some things. But then notice, there was a time to be built up. A time to be built up. Notice verse 5. He said, ye also as lively stones are what? Built up in a spiritual house. Now, God's trying to build us up spiritually. He's trying to get us to grow, to become stronger. Because that old devil, he's still walking around. As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So God's trying to teach us, God's trying to build us in the Lord a spiritual house. And the ingredients are like we see in building a regular house, the frame, the foundation, the roof, so that nothing leaks. When that house is finally built and sealed in, it's a place of joy and peace. And I'll tell you, God's trying to build us in the Lord. You know how he does it? He does it through our trials. Now, I don't like trials. I don't like trouble. Anybody like me out there? I don't like those things. You say, preacher, you're superhuman. Come hang along with me for a week sometimes. I don't always enjoy the I don't always enjoy the difficulties and the negatives. I don't. But somehow God uses them to make them, make us what he wants us to be. And if we realize that, then we can grow in them. God can build us up. God can make us stronger than what we are. And Peter, he had to be built in the Lord. He had to become a spiritual house. You know, God made you a body, a soul, but he made you a spiritual being also. You're made a body, soul, and spirit. It's not just our body that needs to be built up, and it's not just our spirit. It's our whole life. Our spiritual life needs to be built on the Lord. And so he had to do that. He had to have this time when he was built up in the Lord, built a spiritual house and holy priesthood. And notice verse 5, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, I just want to, what can I do for you? Can I give you, Lord, in return? That song Brother Brandon sang, he was wounded that I might live. Wow. Wounded that I might live. Lord, if you did that for me, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Oh, I'm going to tell you something. That's the joy of life. God, what can I do for you? Help me to offer up spiritual sacrifices because you've built me up. God can build us up. Try to go to the world to get built up, and I'll promise you, you'll only get discouraged. You'll only get discouraged. This old world's not the place to put our eyes. It's going to fade. The grass of the field and the flower thereof perisheth. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And it's futile to live for this world. Futile to live worldly ways. They may entice us for a small time, but they're not going to bring us. They're not going to build us up. They're not going to make us strong. God wants us to be built in him. Built up. Are you being built up in God? Are you stronger today than you were this time last year? Is your house, spiritual house, being built? You know, Peter had to do that. Peter got built in the Lord and went through things in life that he allowed God to make him. And you know, you have to allow God to make you what he wants you to be. I said, you have to allow him to make you. You have to allow God to take those hurts and those troubles in life and say, Lord, somehow you want to use them to make me stronger than what I am. Built up. Built up in him. God's trying to build us. He wants us to be stronger. I see, fourthly, there's a time to open up. There's a time to open up. Notice verse 6. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion, or Zion, that's his Jerusalem, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I think this is a time to look up. Peter had to learn to look up. He said, you won't get life's problems solved this way. You'll get life's problems solved that way. It's a matter of what we do with our eyes. Where are we looking? Where are we looking? Where are your eyes today, Christian? Are they on the circumstances? Or are they on God, who is higher than the circumstances? Where's your eyes? Our disciples reminded us in the passage of Scripture. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is laid down at the right hand of God. Where's your eyes? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Here's your answer. I was driving by and I saw a sign in Florida. And Florida's a good place to have a sign like this. But it said, Jesus is the answer to all your problems. Great big billboard. And that's true. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? I think a lot of things in life can be solved by just turning your eyes upon Jesus. Like the old song says, O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. With life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Where's your eyes? You got to learn to look up. When problems overwhelm your soul, you got to learn to look up. When things you don't understand in this life happen, and when somebody fails you or somebody falters that you put faith in, you'll only find grace and peace and help when you look up, because he'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never falter. He'll never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And I was worried about that when, if I was 800 feet up in the air, that he would fail me or forsake me. Hanging on a rope like that, that didn't do me any good. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. There's a God that we just got to put our eyes on. Amen. We focus on the circumstances, and that's why we get discouraged. We focus on ourselves instead of God. God's a lot higher than us. And, you know, Peter had to learn to do that. One day he's saying, oh, I know not the man. The next day, in Acts chapter 2, he preaches Pentecost, and thousands of people get saved. What happened? He had to learn to look to Jesus. He had to learn to look to Jesus. You know, sometimes I think that in our life, if we're saved, that we're never going to have any troubles or problems. And that's just not really reality. But we do have a God who we can look to in the middle of the troubles and the trials if we'll keep our focus on him. One old preacher used to preach on the subject, and it came to pass.
Right. Amen.
It came But it passed. As quickly as it came, God helped it to pass. Oh, I want to tell you something. God can do the same for us. Amen. And I think we have to learn that. We have to learn to put our eyes in the Lord in our trials. Because it's so easy to feel like God has left you alone when you're in the middle of a trial. He hadn't left you alone. But the truth is, if he didn't send us through the trial, he couldn't make us stronger than we are, what we are. So I'm saying to you today, look up. Look up. Look to Christ. Put your eyes on him. He had to look up. There's a fifth thing here I see. There was a time to fill up. There's a time to fill up. Look at verse 7. It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, and he is. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereby unto their appointed. Now what he's saying is Christ is this rock, all right? He's this pictured as this cornerstone. And when you would lay a building in stone, you always started with the chief cornerstone. The number one stone you lay is the chief cornerstone. And that has to be perfectly straight, perfectly level, and perfectly in line. Because if the chief cornerstone is not in line, then all of the future stones will be out of line. And should the chief cornerstone be out of line a half inch, by the time you got down to the end stone, you'd be off many feet. So that chief cornerstone had to be laid exactly right. And can I tell you, that is exactly what Christ is in our life. He was laid perfectly for our life. You said, but preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. It might be that your focus is on what you're going through instead of the one who can lead you through that. Because God is there. It's time to get filled. You know how you get filled? You get filled by getting around the Word and let the Word become rich and mighty. And that you find yourself every day just focusing on the Word. That's a fill up. Amen. And it's a lot less expensive than going to the gas pump. Amen. I don't like going to the gas pump. Woo. But I like going to God and getting my spiritual fill. I need to be filled with His Spirit and filled with His power every day. Peter said, you know, God, I just need to quit this life of going back and forth. This time I just get filled with Your Spirit. I just need, God, Your Word mighty in me. And by the way, that's what happens every day when we get up and get in the Bible, read the Word. The Word dwells in us richly. It does something to us. It causes us to be filled. In Acts chapter 2, before Peter preached, they were filled with the Spirit of God. In chapter 1, they prayed and they sought God. And you know, that's what we need to do in life. We've lost that in Christianity today. We treat God like McDonald's. I want to drive up, get my spiritual meal, and be on my way. But I want to tell you something. God wants us to sit down at His table and dine, get filled with God. It's time to fill up. You walk around empty as a Christian? Do you walk around lifeless, listless? Time to get filled back up. And only the Word of God can do that. Are you full? Are you full? Peter had to learn to get filled up. You won't be able to run on every sermon Pastor Larson preaches. You have to get in the Word sometimes on your own. You have to get in that old book. You'll have to hear some sermons on your own during the week. You'll have to make God number one Monday through Saturday too. Because God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. It's a command of God. And why would God command us to do something we couldn't do? Be filled. Peter had to learn to be filled. Do you live filled with his Spirit? Fourthly, there's a time to speak up. Notice verse 9. I'm sorry, that wasn't number 4. That was number 6. I don't count very well the older I get. Amen. Number 6. Verse 9. Notice what he said. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And here it is. Watch. That ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank God he's called me out of darkness to his marvelous light. What do I do about it? I speak up. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm called out. Well, don't you think there's somebody you know that needs to know that God called you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light? Isn't there somebody that needs to know that? Isn't there somebody in your life that needs to know that there is a God who was in your life? He's powerful. He's real. He's called you to be a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. It means we're different than the world. We have a different motivation inside. We have an internal God who lives in us, who should be the one that guides us and leads us in life. And the world sees a difference. They should. And call on him. And we should let the world know, hey, I'm saved. Let them know you're a Christian. Let the world know you're saved. You're God's child. You may not be perfect, but you're still God's. Amen. Why? Because he chose us to this. He chose us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank God we're not in darkness anymore. Hallelujah. God wants to take the people in darkness and pull them out of darkness and bring them into his marvelous light. Oh, I want to tell you, God wants that. And it begins by being saved. That's where it begins. You can't ever hope to have God's help in your life until you first of all get saved, because he needs to move inside of you and help you every day. That's what he does. But he's called us. Thank God for it. Oh, everything we do in our life should be about thanking God and praising God. And by the way, it's in our tongue, but it's also in the way we live our life. The way we live our life. You know, some people want to praise God and lift up hands, get emotional, but then live a different way. But that's not what God's called us to do. We're a peculiar people. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priest. God's called us to a different spirit, a different life than this whole world. And we should shine, speak up. Peter learned to speak up. He preached in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, and those people, 3,000 people got saved, joined the church, and they became a force of God's goodness and righteousness because Peter spoke up. He preached the word of God. Well, I'll tell you what we need more of today. We need more preachers in this world. Amen. We need more preachers all around this globe, and I'm afraid so many God's called, but they're distracted with the things of this world. And may I tell you what? The things of this world can never compare with the will of God. We get distracted. But Peter spoke up. He didn't have to. He could have remained on that up and down pattern he was on. One day God built him up. God woke him up. And he said, you know what? I want to live faithful for God. Oh, can I tell you, that's how I want to be found, is to be found faithful. Faithful to God. When I hear that trumpet sound, those clouds depart, and the Lord Jesus comes back again, I want to be ready. I want to be ready when he comes. And you can be. You can be. One last thing Peter did is that Peter learned to stand up. He learned to stand up. Notice verse number 10. He said, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, you know, the guy I used to be isn't the guy I'm trying to head to be. He said, I want to live my life for the Lord. I want to see God do things in my life. I want his blessings. I want his help. He said, I didn't live the way I used to, but now I'm going to stand up for the Lord. Oh, can I tell you, if there's one thing this world needs, is a Christian who'll stand up on the Lord's side. I love that old song, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? I love those words that Joshua spoke. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He stood up. He said, we're just going to serve the Lord. We're just going to get after serving the Lord. We've lived in that past long enough. That past is the past. But we were not the children of God before, but now we're the children of God. Now we're going to live and walk in his goodness. We're going to walk in his paths. See, these are the things that made Peter from that up and down guy to the guy that serving the Lord, faithful. Oh, can I tell you what? God in his word will iron out these things in our life that seem to hold us down, that seem to grab us, that seem to pull us. But God's word builds us. It grows us. And if you'll allow God to do that in you, he will. It all depends on what we allow him to do, doesn't it? What would you allow God to do in your life? God wants to do a whole lot. Lay aside, grow, build, look up, fill up, speak up, and stand up for the Lord. Maybe there's an area of your life where you say, Lord, I'm not there yet. God, I need that in my life. Why don't you ask God to help you with that? Why don't you ask God to help you with that area of your life? Maybe you got to lay something aside at the altar, whatever it is. Why don't you do what God would want you to do and see what God will do with your life? Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.